What do you all think? Let's just worship this morning. William will tell you, I talk to him a lot about worship's way too short. I just can't imagine a better time in your week than when we gather and worship God. And that we can find it such a small amount of time has always just blown my mind. But I praise him this morning. He's here. He's with us. And I think he's going to lead us into a worship service today that's one of those you will remember for a long, long time. Jesus loves you. In fact, there's a children's song that we learned when we were growing up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, I can attest to the fact that the Bible does tell you that, and that Jesus does love you because he loves me. And I'll tell you something else that I can attest to this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, you are in this place, right this moment, because God drew you here. That's in the Bible. And that's something I can attest to because I used to be where you are. And I thought this morning when I had the chance, William gave me the opportunity to talk about, of all things, the doctrine of justification. Who would get excited about that? I was probably the only person that would, I think. And I thought, I can't wait. The opportunity to share the good news with you that we are justified in the eyes of God through our faith in Christ is just almost without words. What better news is there? And we're going to look at it this morning. And I got to thinking, well, as a lot of you know, I've had a lot of training. We'll talk about that in a little bit in terms of teaching. And I could deliver the quintessential lecture sermon on justification and that doctrine, just mind-numbing. But you know, it occurs to me that if you're not a follower of Christ, you wouldn't have any idea of what I was talking about. And I thought instead, I want to share a little about the experience that I went through because it's a lot like what many of you who don't know Christ are going through. And then there's some scripture I want to share with you this morning. And just pray through this that the Lord who's led you here will lead you to come and accept him as your Savior this morning. You have no idea the impact that decision will have on your life. Now, we're going to go back to the future, a fair number of years. And I was like so many others. My wife has promised not to say amen too much during this part of it this morning. Oldest of 11. Pretty much strong-willed. I'm a real pussycat now. Not too many amens from back there now. Very strong-willed. A little bit because, you know, we were turnkey children back when that term didn't even exist. Both of my parents had to work. We struggled a lot. We knew what real poverty was and all that, and I'm not going to bore you with any of that. But to get through all of that, you develop an attitude. And I had one. I knew all about Christ, raised in a Christian home and all that, knew all the Bible stories. And at 13, I'd even accepted Christ and immediately sort of tried to reject the whole thing. I knew God existed. Everybody knows God exists, I think, some form or fashion. I knew that. I knew the Bible stories. I knew about the Christmas nativity with Jesus and the baby in the manger and, you know, all that stuff. Good, okay, I know that. I don't need to address that. I have things to do, places to go, dirt to scratch, eggs to lay, out of my way. I don't need any of your religion. And for a fair number of years, even though I, in my imaginary self, believed I was making a success of things, I was in and out of several colleges, never really got very far, start and stop kinds of things, managed to get a career going in the Air Force, and was fairly successful at that. Had lovely wife who has, praise the Lord, stuck beside me for 42 years now. We got married when we were two. Tried everything. I mean, at one time I had a gambling problem, and then I had a drinking problem to help me cover up the gambling problem. you just can't imagine. And yet all these weird things happening in my life, I'm thinking I got it together. I at college, you get in these philosophy classes or these religion classes, and I could argue any point you wanted for any religion that you wanted just fine. I was very comfortable with all of them. And I had it together. And at the tender age of 30, realized I didn't. And I came to a point in my life where I realized I was going nowhere. I was just fooling myself. My way was not working, and in fact, it was. The more I looked down the road my way was taking me, the more hopeless it was. And I just finally one day I said to Sherry, and she acknowledged what I already knew, it wasn't working. Something was missing. We were living life, and to everybody around us, we looked like the perfect couple with a family and an Air Force career and all of that, and we weren't. And it was clear to both of us that we weren't. And the one nice thing about where I was working at the time, although I didn't think it was nice at the time, the cafeteria where we worked, there was a lady in that cafeteria line that as you came through, you knew she was in church that past Sunday. Because she was going to tell you as you came through there what happened or what Bible story they read or what they studied, or she'd invite you to church or whatever. It was annoying. You wanted to shoot past the salad lady. You know, you didn't want to hang loose in the line very long. You were going to get that. And so I remember the day I said to Sherry, I said, I got to find a church, and I know how to find one. I'm going to talk to that lady in that food line. And that led me to a little church in Duluth, Minnesota, with a congregation of about 70 active people, I think. And a man who would be my mentor for the rest of his life, Brother Bob Orr, who I just love dearly. Anyway, long since gone with the Lord. But that Kentucky pastor in that little congregation pulled me aside, answered every question that I had. It was just incredible the amount of time he spent with me and eventually with Sherry. And in February, 32 years ago, I walked down the aisle of that little church and totally surrendered my life to Christ. Absolutely, totally. I said, here, it's all your... The financial mess I'm in, I've got no real college education. What the heck am I going to do when I grow up? I don't know what to do with where we are. I just totally gave it to Christ. Totally. And I decided from that moment that, all right, you've asked me to trust in you. I am going to trust in you completely. Almost like I wanted to hold God accountable. And the change that came into my life over the past 32 years is just unimaginable. Easy examples. Today, I have 3 college degrees. I am a chief financial officer. One of my degrees, the last one that I got, is a master's degree in theology. Can you imagine? Me in a seminary. They couldn't imagine it, frankly. Last year, with the help of Ron Hall, Rob, and William, I started a new ministry on the Internet. I can't even turn my computer on. I started a new ministry on the Internet, daniel222.com, and it's there to help folks who are lost and searching better understand the Bible, to better understand God. It's there for everyday folks like we are who are struggling with this to get the help they need. I've got a great Sunday school class. My life was completely turned around in spite of myself. And when I realized that Christ came and died for me and that I was going to get to heaven, I cannot believe God would forgive somebody like me and the things that I've done, thought, said, and so on. I can't believe it. But it's true, and I know it is. And so this morning, in just the few minutes that we have, I want to share with the rest of you some verses that talk to me about this being justified. And if you don't know Christ this morning, you think about this, because God brought you here this morning to introduce you to the Savior of the world. God brought you here this morning to introduce you to the one person in all of history who died and rose from the dead and is still living today. And it is an undeniable fact. So, I want to share a few scriptures with you this morning. We can put the first one up. And the reason that I want to share this with you this morning, again, if you don't know Christ, the Bible doesn't mean a lot to you. I know folks, you know, we have some people ourselves that Sherry and I are kind of helping right now. They read the Bible. Some of it makes sense. Some of it's good, honest teaching. You know, it's things that anybody could believe in, if you will. Other parts of it don't make a lot of sense to folks who don't know Christ. But the Bible tells us one thing about God's Word, the Bible. And that is how we get our faith in Christ. It says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And so I want to read the scripture to you this morning so that it will speak to you as it did to me. And the first one you can see on the screen behind is Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. That's actually the second one. Let me try, don't mean to confuse you. I'm going to read you Luke 18:10-14. I wanted to really start with that one. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Don, I didn't mean to point you out. We may have some tax collectors in the congregation. I didn't even thought about it. But he says, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, says Christ, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And you see, that was part of my problem. I wasn't hurting anybody. I was good to my neighbor. I was a nice guy. You know, I tried not to swear and cuss a lot, although occasionally that popped out as well. But I wasn't an adulterer or a rapist. You know, I didn't have a stone idol in my living room I worshiped, those kinds of things. Felt pretty good about myself. I would occasionally even go to a church, and when the offering came by, put $5 in there. I felt pretty good about myself, frankly. And you see, that's one of the problems. That blinds us to our need for Christ. And when I see this tax collector, I see me in heaven. You know, I've been a part of groups where we will talk about what's it going to be like when you're finally in heaven and you get to see, you know, physically you're in God's presence and you get to see him and you get to see Christ. What is that? Isn't it going to be just awesome? It is going to take my breath away. I am going to be so face down. I would even be allowed in, even today. It astounds me that somebody like myself, God, would let into heaven and to be in his presence. I just can't even imagine it. And so my prayer today with these verses is that you would be like that, that you would submit yourself to God and humble yourself in his presence. Don't get caught up in the doing. And then the second one I believe we had up there, and that is because we're justified through Christ, we have peace with God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that came into my life the minute I surrendered was a peace. The Bible calls a peace that passes all understanding. If you don't know Christ, you do not have any concept of what that peace is like. That doesn't mean that your life is going to be a bed of roses and that you're going to go on 66 and never get in a traffic jam and, you know, all of that. Your financial worries are all gone and all of that's a no. But you're going to have the confidence that no matter what phases you each day, Christ is leading you through it. Christ will see you through it. And you can have the confidence as well that he has a plan for your life. You know, that was one of the things that struck me. I thought I had my life figured out and realized I didn't have it figured out at all. And what I came to realize was the plan that God had for me was so different. I couldn't even have imagined what God had for me. You're missing out on all of that if you don't know Christ. You may have a great life today, you think, in one sense or another, but you have no idea the life you could have with Christ. You just do not. But you'll have a peace passes all understanding. Oh, yeah. Luke. Yeah. Now, there's a couple of verses prior to this I want to share first. This, I think even folks who don't know Christ know the story of the crucifixion. Christ is on the cross, and on each side of him are two other criminals. And I want to point out that there are two criminals that their crimes were so significant they were sentenced to capital punishment. They're there to be executed, and Christ is the third one being executed. One of them, I can't remember if it's left or right, but one of the criminals, the thieves on the cross, is actually mocking Christ and is hurling sort of swear words and all sorts of things at him. And he's saying to Christ, oh, save yourself, you know, and oh, who do you think you are? You know, all this sort of stuff. This is the other criminal. It says, but the other criminal rebuked him. And he's talking about the two thieves are talking, basically. But the other criminal rebuked him. And he says, don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong, he says. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ responded, and Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Now here's what I want you to see about this. This criminal, this person who, whatever they had done so much or so bad they deserved to die on a cross, has just been saved, the Christians would call it. He's just accepted Christ as his Savior and asked to be included in his kingdom, asked to be allowed into heaven, and Christ granted it. Now I want you to see this. It's very important here. How many Sunday school classes did that guy attend? How many times was that person in church? When was that person baptized? Did that person tithe? Had he had the Lord's Supper? Had he participated in communion? Was he dedicated at birth? Absolutely no. Now that's not to say that all those things aren't important, but those are doing things. Our faith in Christ is a faith thing, and I don't want you to get caught up in the doing, that I do all these other things. I know I'm going to, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. It isn't about whether you're good or bad, as you can see by the thief on the cross. It's about whether you trust in Christ or not. Put our next scripture up. Now, Galatians 2:16, is that? Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little disorganized this morning. That's my fault. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And I want you to understand that this morning. It's not what you do. There isn't anything you can do except Christ. That is the only thing, that is the only requirement that's put before us. And then once you do, Ephesians 2:8-10, a scripture that we've all read as Christians, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that anyone would boast. We're saved, I like to say there's two reasons we're saved. One is we put our faith in Christ. But even above that is that God's grace allows that to happen. God created us knowing we were going to fail and prepared a sacrifice to help us through that. And we don't quite understand it. We're going to talk about that sacrifice in a moment. But I want you to see that the God who created us loves us. He sent his Son to die for us. He wants us to be saved, but he wants us to take that step. He's done everything else. It's time for us to take that step. You have to accept Christ as your Savior. I can't imagine not doing so. Okay. I learned years ago how to speak without notes. I have a piece of paper up here, which is actually just the scripture, like you see on the slide. I keep a little card. That's pretty much it. You may argue that's why I'm such a poor speaker. I don't know. But you'll notice there's six little points, six little bullets on the card. We're down to the last bullet now, so you think you can relax, but you can't. But I wanted to show you, I wanted to read to you what I wrote for this last bullet. Romans 4, 1 through 8, which I'm hoping is what will come up here. And now, the good news. This set of verses, I'm telling you, I hope I can actually get through this. This set of verses is probably some of the most powerful in my mind in the Bible. And so read this along with me. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God's credit righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Can you imagine? You are being presented today with the opportunity to start with a clean slate, a whole new beginning, a new way of living, a new hope, an eternal hope, a knowledge and peace that God is with you through all of it, and that not one single sin in your life is going to be remembered by God. Not one. And I've been there. There's these sins God will forgive, but he's not letting this into heaven. There's no way. I'm telling you this morning, he will forgive every sin that you have. All of them. If you'll put your faith in Christ. Now, one of the things that I do remember in my earlier walk, before I really sort of surrendered to Christ, was the whole blood thing. You know, I had a difficult time with the blood thing. And why does blood need to be shed? Because somebody today goofed something up. Why does blood need to be shed? And in fact, why is it that someone who died 2,000 years ago, even if they rose from the grave, why is it that that shed blood then would cover a sin I made today? It's very difficult for people to understand. Sometimes I'm not even sure we as followers of Christ completely understand it. Well, I want to help you understand that a little this morning, because that shed blood covers everything you've done to this point that runs counter to what God wanted you to do. That shed blood wipes your slate clean. That shed blood protects you for an eternity and reconciles you, justifies you to God. Now, I want to take you back. Again, maybe you don't know the Bible that well, so I won't read scripture to you. But I'll bet you most of us in here have either seen or heard of the movie The Ten Commandments with Moses and, you know, Charlton Heston, who from now on everybody will think that's what Moses looked like, I'm sure. And certainly Charlton Heston looked about as Jewish as it gets. So. But Moses, what happens, if you don't know the story too well, you know, God called Abraham's children into Egypt, and they went into a period of 400 years of slavery. And it was brutal. And the Egyptians were just oppressive. And they cried out, and God finally heard their cry, and he sent Moses in to lead them out. And when Moses went in, of course, the Pharaoh, Egyptians didn't want him to go. God brought down one plague after the next, long series of plagues, still wouldn't let them go. And then God says to Moses, okay, I'm going to bring judgment on Egypt, and they will let you go. Here's what you're to do tonight because in preparation of this judgment. Because the judgment I'm going to bring, I'm going to send sort of the death angel, if you will, through here. God's going to pass through here, and I'm going to take the firstborn of every family in Egypt, the firstborn. But to protect you from that, here's what you are to do. And he lists a series of things which today we call celebrating the Passover. Some, 3,500 years later, we're still doing it. And one of the things they were to do is they were to get a lamb, an innocent lamb, and they were to slaughter that lamb. And they were to take the blood of that lamb and wipe it on the doorpost and what they call the lintel, the headpiece and the doorpost. And that blood was to be wiped on there. And then they were to remain inside, ready to move. This brief meal they were to eat and so on, all a part of the Passover, and all a part of being led out of slavery into freedom. When Christ came, in fact, I think we learned this, was it last week or the week before? When Christ came, he was referred to as, behold, the Lamb of God. If his blood is swiped on your heart, that's a picture of what we saw when we see the Passover in Egypt. So what does that mean? The night of the plague, the night when they came, when the Lord came and took the firstborn of everyone in Egypt, it passed over every home. And if it saw the blood of the Lamb on the door, judgment passed by. Now notice, if you've seen the movie, you've seen, they did this, you got a swirling cloud of whatever it was and all this passing by, but it passed right through, would pass by a home with the blood on it. Notice that when judgment came, God didn't come up to that door and say, the person inside there lived a good life. The person inside there was a churchgoer. Or the person inside there was an evil person, and judgment came on that house based on those kinds of criteria. No. They didn't even see what was in the house. When judgment came, God saw one thing, that house was covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, when we accept Christ. When we get to heaven, and it's judgment day, if you will, we have nothing to fear at all. We have already passed from judgment into light. We're already there, just like those families were the night that they put that blood on the door. If you've got Christ living in you, you're covered that same way. And God will never, ever, ever see one single sin in your life. Ever. Is that not the greatest news you've ever heard? Today is the day. Thank you. Today is the day. This is the hour. God has brought you to this place to introduce you to His Son, Jesus. Now, we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to have something very special this morning. And those of us who know Christ are praying for you in here today, because God's brought you here for a reason. Let's pray. Father, we look so forward to that day when this life will be behind us, when that new life, Father, in heaven with you will be present with us. We look forward to the day of a new heaven and a new earth and an eternal existence with you, Father, and your Son, Jesus, our new homes in heaven. Father, today we celebrate the fact that we can have that hope and we can look forward to that vision because we've trusted in your Son, Jesus, and through that faith, we're justified with you, Father. Father, this morning we know there are many here who have not made that decision, who are still searching, who are still wondering, who still have doubts. Touch their hearts this morning, Father. Father, bless this worship service as we just invite Jesus into the life of every living soul in this place. We pray this in thy heavenly name.